once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Group Workout, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Ms. Loretta, of the First and Second Baptist Church of Quimby, Texas, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of ContramanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbia, Nebraska, bringing us today's topic on mental influence. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening. But if you've selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Contraman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hello, Miss Loretta. So nice to hear your beautiful voice. Quite a surprise. But I had forgotten that you were going to be announcing for us. So I have not spoken to you, so the first thing I want to say is congratulations on your marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. And I'm sure that people are in the chat room already asking, is she still Miss Loretta? And I believe I said, well, Miss Loretta is her professional name. I'm married, and I'm still Miss Kat. So you're still Miss Loretta, right?
That's right. And, you know, down here in the South, we've got lots of married ladies and widowed ladies like I was before I got married again. Then we just call them Miss So-and-so. You know, I grew up with Miss Raspberry and Miss Sheila. And, you know, that's just something we do.
Well, now let's get all of our fans of your show, which is the Now You Know show with Professor Porterfield, and fans of this show who've never heard you before, Miss Loretta is the star of Cooking with Miss Loretta, which is a very popular segment on the Now You Know show, which airs every Thursday under the aegis of Professor Charles Porterfield of AIR. Miss Loretta is of the First and Second Baptist Church of Quimby, Texas, and there's a story about why the First and Second Baptist Church are in one church, but she can tell that story better than me. But, Miss Loretta, you married a man known to the public as Count Goulash. And I only know him as Count Goulash, and he is a horror show host. But I found out after you married him that his name is Mr. Newman, or as my mother would have pronounced it, Neumann. And that's generally a Jewish name. What is his first name?
His first name is Alfred, but he goes by Fred.
Alfred, but he goes by Fred. Oh, right. Well, thank you for telling me that. I know I don't want to give away a big secret about Mr. Newman, but I've known him for years and years as Count Goulash. And for those of you who don't get the joke, that is G-H-O-U-L, like a ghoul, and A-S-H, because he's a Hungarian, like Hungarian goulash. So Mr. Newman is of Hungarian Jewish descent. Now, I know you to be a Baptist, and I'd like to ask a question. In these difficult times with, clowns to the left of us and jokers to the right, how are you and Mr. Newman, Count Goulash, doing as a mixed religious couple?
Well, we're doing just fine, to tell you the truth. We're both a little too old for that nonsense. And, it hasn't been an issue yet, except he's a lot more particular about his food than I thought he would be. But I was married to a Southern boy my first marriage, RJ, you know, he's a good old Southern boy, and he thought his mama was the only one who could boil water. So I'm used to having a husband who's particular about food. I'm just not used to the food he's particular about. And so we had a bit of a round and around about if we were going to keep cream cheese in the house for anything other than spreading on things. And I had never heard the word schmear in my life.
Oh, and, yes. Well, see, now where I grow up, we call that, we don't just call it schmear, we call it schmierkäse, which means schmear cheese. Käse is, schmierkäse. And we're gonna have some schmierkäse today. I understand. He didn't, the only food, I'm going to give you a little hint, honey, from a Jew to the wife of a Jew, the only food that cream cheese goes in is a kind of a cookie that's called rúgula. Ask him about rúgula and say to him, didn't your mother make rúgula with cream cheese? And he'll have to admit she did.
Well, we're working it out. And
all right.
It's all going fine. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm so pleased. Now you're going to have to start getting the lox, the salmon. That's what goes with the cream cheese. He'll explain it all to you by and by. Well, anyway, Miss Loretta, it's just a thrill to talk to you and have you as an announcer. And I hope you come back and are an announcer for us more often. I know that you're our announcer whenever Papa Newt, our normal, regular announcer, is a guest. So now I'm going to just do a shout-out to the folks at the shop. Things in the Lucky Mojo shop are doing very, very well. We are down to the oldest orders on the floor are 14 days out. That's 2 weeks. And those are only the orders that have, you know, just scads and scads of things to make, hand make, particularly those that need very popular sachet powders and incense powders, which we make in small batches to keep them fresh. So those are the ones that usually sit on the floor until the items are made for them, very large orders and wholesale orders. But most of the orders are going out within 72 hours. So I just want to let you all know that things are looking better than they ever have looked, and I want to give a special thank you to Miss Alicia, who's our helper manager on the weekends, and King, who is, I don't know what the word, but I think it was my little dynamo was the word that was applied to King, and he is the fastest foil maker in the West. That's a man who can really make and pack those things into a beautiful, and they're all beautiful too. Jenna, who usually runs trains, but it's been rainy, so she's not running trains. She's making products, which is great because it gets us ahead faster. Margie, who is our weekend and pretty much all times spell kit maven. She's the one who knows what goes in every spell kit. Leslie Lowell, who's out there making things run right, and Nicole, who is taking down orders from the internet. So that's our crew for the day, and they are doing beautifully, and I just want to give them all a big thank you. And over in the church, we've got Yose and Salita, and I want to give them a howdy also. All right, that's what's happening with us. The floor, when I mean the floor, I mean the boxes on the floor for things to go out to people. The floor looks the cleanest and best it has looked in about a year, so we're cooking. All right, oh, and a special secret thank you to Brian, who came in at night and worked at night making oils to catch us up, one of our best helpers. All right. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali. What's going on in your neck of the woods? Did you get any of that rain that we got?
We did get some, hello, Cat, first. We did get some interesting weather for a while, but no real rain. It has cooled off, luckily. For those of us cardigan files, it is finally fall, which is nice. But mostly I have been quite absorbed by watching the last stretch of the election. To have not been paying attention, this is really the time to pay attention. It's gotten disastrous, if I could use that term, and messy and ugly with victims of sexual assault coming forth on one hand, accusing Donald Trump. On the other hand, Donald Trump claiming the election is rigged. I'm watching this not only as a spiritual leader in my community, but also as a historian. I'm looking at this and going, man, 2016, they're going to be writing dissertations for years to come about how strange this election is. So definitely pay attention. Whenever you have a political candidate in a democracy claiming it's rigged, that usually doesn't bode well for what that person intends to do after an election. So keep your eyes peeled. I have been glued to my computer and TV while lighting candles and saying prayers, because it's definitely getting crazy out there.
All right, and I hear you. I support everything you said, but I got to add one more thing. If y'all like gospel music, you need to go to YouTube, and I hope someone gets the URL for me here because I can't do it while I'm typing. Go to YouTube and get the URL for Anthony Hamilton and the Hamiltones with the song "Donald Trump's Gonna Grab Your Pussy." Okay, I'm telling you, this is a hit. It's a hit. This is a certified gospel golden hit. Okay. Share it, savor it, revel in it. Yes, thank you, Nagashiva, for posting the URL. I am to the point. I'm telling you, folks, if Candelo doesn't put Anthony Hamilton and the Hamilton "Donald Trump's Gonna Grab Your Pussy" on his show, I will be using it as theme music on our show. Okay, I believe that Professor Porterfield, Miss Loretta, you carry this message to him. Really, truly, "Donald Trump's Gonna Grab Your Pussy" is the, grab you by the pussy. Okay, thank you. Shiva just corrected me in the chat room. This song is, says everything. All right, having digressed, let's bring in our guest. How are you today, Papa Newt?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
I'm sure that you have an opinion on this election, too, and I wouldn't want to hold you back. But how are things in Columbus, Nebraska?
Quite busy. As most of you know, from last week I was gone, so it's closed for 4 days, and it's just been busy catching up with client work and other work that I need to get done for my own business, and it's been busy, that's all I can say on that.
Well, all right, busy is good. busy is good. You go over there. I know you're Mr. I call you the king of the URLs. Go over there, check that URL for Anthony Hamilton and the Hamiltones. See if you've got the courage to share that with your clients, because I've shared it with mine. Donald Trump. I mean, it's it. Donald Trump's going to grab you by the pussy. That's it. I mean, there's nothing more to say about this election.
That's the theme song of the election. It really is.
It is. All right. All right. Well, I know that in years to come, somebody 5 years from now, when all of this is shaken down and settled in the bottom of the box, they're all going to go, what were they all so up in arms about? And 20 years from now, if God help us, that this archives are still up here on the internet, they're going to go, how dated. But I'm going to tell you, folks, no matter when you listen to this show, just remember Anthony Hamilton and the Hamiltones. Donald Trump's going to grab you by the pussy. Look it up. It is the theme song of our lives. This is the days of our lives, folks. All right. I think we're the last time I checked. Also, go to Google News and just type in exhaustive list Donald Trump. There is a site that is keeping what's called the exhaustive list of women who have accused Donald Trump of grabbing them by the pussy, okay, or elsewhere. And this gets added to the last time I checked in, there were 20 women's names on the list, okay? For real. Okay, for real, 20 women. Wow. And I ain't voting for Hillary Clinton, by the way. Just going to tell you the truth. I'm either going to write in Bernie Sanders or I'm going to vote for Vermin Supreme because he offers everyone a free pony.
Well, Vermin Supreme.
Yeah, I think I want the free. I'm going to go for the free pony, I think. I might vote for Bernie just out of nostalgia. Bernie's like a boyfriend I broke up with. But Vermin Supreme is like the boyfriend I never had, the one who offers me the free pony. Okay. Well, let's get to our subject matter. How can we even have subject matter in a day like this, a day and time like this? It's like, oh my Lord, we should be doing a morning drive show, I swear to God. All right, we're focused on mental influence.
I love this topic, I just want to say. I'm really excited about it.
This is great. This topic was brought to us by Papa Newt, the master of mental influence. So some of the things that come under the heading of mental influence are spells that you perform on people while they're asleep, dream spells and things like that, spells that you perform on people by working a doll baby focused on their head or their thoughts rather than their feet, hands, heart, genitals, working a skull candle, that's a kind of way that many people will work on their head, and there are other forms of mental influence, including something known as silent influence, which was popularized by a man named W.W. Atkinson.
And he also wrote
books on mental influence and mental magnetism. Mental magnetism means to draw some money with you through strictly mental means. In other words, no oils, no powders, no candles, just mental magnetism. And mental influence is to influence somebody, although we sometimes will use a symbolic representation of the person and manipulate their mind. All right. Having said all that, let me bring Papa Newt in. Now, you tell us, what brought you to mental magnetism? How did you get to study it, and mental influence, I should say, and how did you get to study it, and what do you use it for in magic?
Well, I came across it. My adventure into magic and that started really at a young age. First, accidentally purchasing an Aleister Crowley book because I did magic tricks, and I was like, "Ooh, cool! It's spelled with a K. It must be a new type of magic tricks." Yeah, it was. But I also was introduced. We got the internet at an early age, so I was introduced to bulletin board systems, BBSs, that talked about these different authors, and so it was very intriguing to me. But many years later, it wasn't until about, 2008 where I went through my training in neuro-linguistic programming and actually going through the 140-some hours of training, and then having that backup of reading the magic and the authors, applying it to some of my classmates and seeing how it helped or had improved the situation, be it they were in a condition of, or they were in a unhelpful thinking habit, and just working with them and they're good right up, so to speak.
Well, neurolinguistic programming is a very interesting training program. It's very, very interesting, and I have never taken the courses formally, but I've read a lot of books by people who do those trainings and also about it from an outsider's perspective. And I found that quite a lot of it is amazing. It's new material that you cannot find in older works. You know, there was in the chat room, we've been mentioning here William Walker Atkinson, who was the influence. And Atkinson, by the way, was a lawyer and a very good writer. He was a friend of Claude Alexander Conlon, who was from the Midwest. Atkinson had moved to Chicago and was in the Midwest. And they both ended up on the West Coast, and they ended up being friends. And Conlon, who had been a stage magician, retired to found something known as the Crystal Silence League. So this kind of comes very close to my way of working. The Crystal Silence League also uses Atkinsonian forms of mental influence. But NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, as taught by Mr. Bandler and Mr. Grinder, were very much, they are in person. In other words, these are techniques for getting someone to do as you do, think as you think, follow you and agree with you through very subtle techniques of body language and speech, and that's about the best I can say it. It is an amazing way of working, and I have to also say here that Claude Conlon used these things. He had been a stage magician, and he had been a stage hypnotist, and some of these techniques come out of hypnotism as well. So it's a interesting blended area between prayer and sending out thoughts, physical influence on a person in your presence. And also I'm going to say that our own John St. Germain of the Crystal Silence League Hour, the voice of the Crystal Silence League, he also knows these techniques and is also a devotee of Atkinson and of Conlon. He's also a spiritualist, which I don't believe Atkinson ever was, but these things kind of blend into one another. So tell me how you use mental influence or teach it, Papa Newt, to your clients who want to change. Say somebody made a decision to do something and you don't want them to do it. How would you work on this magically to get them to change their mind?
It comes down to, in a sense, meeting the person you want to influence. This is more coming from meeting where they're at, so to speak, and leading them where you want them to go. Now, of course, if the client doesn't have communication any longer with this person, it's a matter of connecting where they're at through the meditation upon their image, getting a sense of where they're at, connecting, if you will. And then from there, it's one of those things I've been always trying to put into words, because when I do that, it's like I no longer become my identity or become the one I'm influencing. I come from this neutral place, noticing what I'm noticing, and then from there, I will be like, then once I get that connection, I get a sense. It's weird. I kind of get a sense of where they're at, like physically in physical space. Then I'm just like, these words are your words. I start speaking, and I get a sense of how they speak, or I get a sense of how they're thinking. So I want to match that and then adjust it to something better.
Right. So this is one of the real NLP techniques. And again, although much of what's in NLP, and certainly certain concepts of modeling, anchoring, and so forth, I'm not going to get into them because really people should study NLP, but certain of these concepts also go back farther. There's a famous experiment that Aleister Crowley, the Thelemite willpower guy who also had his own ceremonial magic system that he inherited from the Golden Dawn and adapted to his own needs, and he also had a church that he had. But he was a very accomplished thinker, and he had studied the works of Atkinson and others and Conlon of that time period when he was young. And he talked about an experiment that he did where he walked behind somebody, a total stranger, and he began to actually mimic everything about that person. He established a complete link so that he stepped when they stepped. He held his shoulders the way they did. He had his head as like cant the way they did. And then he stumbled and they stumbled. So first he followed and then he led. And that is one of the major things about this kind of work, is that first you set up a kind of a empathy, sympathy, connection. Papa Newt, you called it a connection, either physical or mental. And then you begin to change, and they have to change to follow suit. If you have grounded them to the state, or if you've anchored the state, you when you change, they will change. Have you ever done this kind of work too, Ollie? I know you're saying, and you're chattering away in the chat room. You've done this stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah. Mental influence is probably one of the cornerstones of the type of work that I do, and probably the work that I do the most for myself. You won't see me very often lighting candles for love or money or things like that, but I will do a lot of mental influence work. It's very big. My background in both in hoodoo and in The gin practices involve quite a bit of mental influence, and add with that that I trained for some time as a hypnotist, which you can probably tell by the way I talk. Is mental influence becomes quite big in what I do. And I want to kind of point out that what Papa Newt was talking about was something very important. Both of you are talking about creating that sympathy and that connection. And there's a word he used, said neutral, and that's very important. This highlights the difference between the two approaches to mental influence, right? The first approach is a magnetic approach, right, in which you become like them. You will either draw them into yourself or you become like them. You mirror their behavior. You mirror their thoughts. There's a reason why some people will do this type of work when the other person is asleep. It's much easier, right? The other approach is that of domination. It's when you direct the willpower in a more specific way. Atkinson, for example, talks about it as practically mentally shouting, right, or firmly stating, he talks about. And you can see the command travel from him into the other person. So there are two very different approaches, and this is also reflected in hoodoo quite a bit. You have on one hand domination-like products, right? Domination, commanding, they're very forceful. And then you have those that are about more compelling, right? Influence. Those are very different approaches than commanding and domination. Knowing what type of person you're working on is very important to determining which approach you're going to take, if you're going to take that forceful approach or you're going to lead them. The key here is that understanding that power equals getting someone to do what you want. That doesn't mean pointing your finger and they bow down before you. People mistake that. They only think of power in hard terms, right? Coercive power. They don't understand the nature of soft power. The most skilled influencers will influence groups of people. People won't even know they're being influenced or doing anything that they themselves don't feel like they want to do. And that is very important. When you get that sweet spot down, that's when you really can get what you want out of people.
Yeah. You know, there's a very important difference here, and I'm going to throw myself into this too. Magnetic. We know in hoodoo, for instance, that if you're going to symbolize it, you'd use a lodestone. Some people in an urban area might just use magnets, but I don't like magnets because they're too abrupt. They're too much like pointing your finger and get what you want. Lodestones are subtle. You name one lodestone for them, one for you, you draw them to you. But you can also do that by, think about this for just a moment. And I have to say, I was racking my brain as to who taught this to me, and I'm not sure if it was Atkinson or if it was Conlon or if it was another one of those New Thought teachers, but it might have been Conlon. Whoever said, the body is filled with blood. And blood circulates in the body, and what makes blood red is iron. And just as a magnet draws iron to it, you can draw a person to you. If you conceive of yourself, and if you, and it helps to be able to visualize. A lot of this is visualization. You sit and visualize your circulatory system and your heart pumping magnetic blood, and they will just be drawn to you. They will come. So this is a powerful way of working with blood, and it has also ties into ideas beyond lodestones to menstrual blood spells, things like that. So think about the iron that's in blood when you think about magnetism, if you need a help to visualize it. Now, another thing that you said was domination. People think of domination as, you know, making someone do something they don't want to do. In other words, to make them bow down and feel bad and have to, you know, submit and you put your foot on their neck or something. But domination can be much quieter than that, much more subtle. Think of the strength. Think of the strength card in the Rider-Waite-Smith Tarot. It's a lady petting a lion. The lion looks a little uncertain about it, wants to please, but looks a little bit, you know, like, can I, you know, am I okay here? But the lady just pets the lion, and the lion licks her wrist. Mm-hmm. And she's able to open and to lock the lion's jaw. Well, that is a form of domination that is very powerful because it's very quiet. And mm-hmm. so domination does not only mean hurting people and causing them to be abused.
Yes, that's a very good point. In fact, one of the oldest, I would say, domination tactics in hoodoo is you write someone's name down. Some people say 3 times, 1 time, 9 times, and you place it in your shoe. And what mm-hmm. you do is you just tap when you're speaking to them. And you're not sitting there smashing your foot into the ground, right? That people mistakenly
mm-hmm.
practice. They're not. You're not breaking that person's back. You're tapping. This is particularly effective if you want someone to tell the truth, right? This is effective if you want, if you're in, at the DMV and you want them to give you what you want, or you're calling into customer service. It works wonders. And what you do
mm-hmm.
is you place it, their name in your shoe under your foot, and you just tap. And
mm-hmm.
I was told that you're supposed to do it every time you say their name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you say, let's say the person's name is John Doe. You say, oh, thank you very much for that. John Doe, can I get your number? And you tap. Or if
mm-hmm.
you're speaking to someone, hey, John Doe, can you tell me that story, right? And this is not meant to break them or hurt them, but it is much more forceful. It's much more about giving them a nudge in the right direction. The other thing
mm-hmm.
I want to mention, in addition to working with your feet, the one of the most overlooked aspects of mental influence is your eyes. The
mm-hmm.
eyes are extremely powerful. And in my opinion, there are certain signs that are a little bit better at this than others that have a sort of natural aptitude. For example, Scorpios have a very natural aptitude for this type of influence work. There's something about Scorpios' eyes that generally are very magnetic or piercing, and so they have an ability to do this. But looking someone in their eyes, looking deeply into their eyes, blinking slowly, drawing them into you with your eyes, this is if you do it well enough, over time you even learn to kind of dilate your eyes a little bit more consciously. And it draws people right in. And this is where an oil would work. If you take a little dab of influence oil and place it in between your brows and then look someone directly into the eyes, that's a way of directing the gaze and influencing them with eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants a hyper stylized variation of this, look at the character Svengali.
The
with the eyes, yeah, very fantastic, yes.
But one thing that's also important to know is when it comes to influence, we cannot not influence. I mean, we're on constantly,
mm-hmm.
like right now, each of our listeners, you're sitting there, you're listening to us through your device, and you're being influenced to a certain degree. You're being influenced by, because you're learning something new, learning stuff that you may not consider.
Mm-hmm.
But when we influence people too, it comes down to, because it can go either way. Influence can be, as all you said, can be very subtle, or it can be a little bit stronger. I mean, it's understanding the tool. Sometimes things just need a screwdriver and not a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
But also, what is your purpose behind it, the influence? Because sometimes that purpose-driven, coming from a place is like, is it more beneficial to you, or is it beneficial to you and the person?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking from that perspective, seeing where it actually can benefit the person that you're influencing them, and this, you have to remove any selfish notion when you consider this,
mm-hmm.
I mean, especially when you're doing some seduction work. Of course, you want to draw them to you, but still, you have to come from a place what's the right word I'm thinking? I lost my train of thought, so I will continue.
Well, all right. I'm going to jump into the chat room. First of all, I want to thank everybody in chat. We've got a great crew. And Nagashiva mentioned Mesmer. Mesmer
mm-hmm.
was a 19th century, he proposed a theory called animal magnetism. And this
mm-hmm.
is the idea that you can influence others with animal qualities. But what he probably meant is very, you know, is it psychic magnetism? Is it pheromones? Is it a combination of posture, pheromones, and psychic influence? He left it for what it was, but he also believed that you could heal people by, if you were a healthy person, you could project health into others and you could heal them. And mesmerism, which has evolved and became a sort of a subset of hypnotism, but mesmerism is particularly influential. Hypnotism, as opposed to making people go to sleep and be stiff like a log. And mesmerism is something, again, considered a pseudoscience by those who are scientists, but it has a long history, and it is very practical. You might want to study mesmerism.
Yeah.
The other thing is the word influence. I'm just going to say here that Lucky Mojo, my company, makes a line of influence products. We also make a line called Compelling. We also make a line called Controlling, and we also make a line of products called Domination. So domination, obviously, is to get someone to do what you want. And the picture shows a one woman sort of bossing around another woman who looks sort of frightened. Controlling and compelling, you know, are also similar but different. Compelling usually is used to get someone to do something they promised, but they didn't do it. You promised, you better. And that one shows a woman on a throne with a man kneeling at her feet and the watchful eye of God behind saying, you promised. So compelling is not, although it can be used for influence, it's usually used when a promise was broken or to actually force somebody. Controlling is more of to make someone your puppet. You're going to pull the strings. They're going to be your puppet. And finally, we have influence. And the picture on that label is an old picture by an artist named Joe Orlando, for those of you who knew me when I was in the comics business. And it was actually it's been modified and flipped around a little bit, but it's from an old ad for a course in hypnotism. And it shows a sort of suave hypnotist and a sleeping lady. And a lot of the old ads for hypnotism and a lot of the old books that we sell always show a man influencing a woman. So the seductive aspect of hypnotism has always been a part of it.
Very much so.
Well, that you've been listening to Lucky Mojo Root Work Hour, and now we're going to turn it over to Miss Loretta and take some readings.
Thank you, Miss Kat. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Papa Newt, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.lucky.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Loretta, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is Nika, and she is calling in from area code 229. Nika, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Nika. Now, I understand that you have not called into the show before, and you have not received a reading from Miss Kat or Conjure Man Ali before. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And your situation, as described by you, is as follows. I go to court next week and would like to know what the outcome of my case may be. I also wanted to know if I am crossed and what can I do to remove some of this negative energy from around me and stop people from thinking so badly of me. Now I turn it over to Miss Kat.
All right. Well, honey, first of all, we can't do every question here, but I'm going to try to get as much as I can of both questions. When we get to what you can do, that's going to come up on the third section when the root worker talks to you, but I'm going to do some reading. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What is your sign of the zodiac? Pisces. And now, are you in court as a plaintiff, in other words, the one complaining, or are you in court as defendant, the one who has to defend themselves?
Defendant.
You're the defendant, so you've been accused of something.
Yes.
All right, now we don't need to get into details. I'm going to ask you to consider this while I read. If you did the thing that that you are accused of, you don't have to say it. But if you did it, I'd like you to be thinking on that when I read this. If you did not do it and are innocent, be thinking of that. And if there are extenuating circumstances, I want you to think on this, because reading for the outcome of a court case depends very much on the mind of the person who I'm reading for. I've had people to think in their mind, I'm innocent, and the cards come up, oh, you'll be acquitted. But it turned out they were lying to me while I was reading. So think in your mind, you don't need to say a word, and I'm now going to do it, all right? Okay, I'm putting three cards down. Okay, card number one is not your card. This is the Queen of Swords. This is someone who is going to sit in judgment. I don't know if this goes before a judge or a mediator. I don't know exactly who's going to be making the decision on this court case, but the decider is a stern person. Might be a woman, might be a man. If it's a man, he has some womanly qualities, and that does not mean to say that he's feminine or gay, but he might be a very good parent. But the Queen of Swords indicates a person who does not consult others, but sits in judgment based on their own judgment. They have some compassion. They beckon to people, come to me and I will settle things. But they hold a big, long sword in their hand and say, believe me, I'm going to settle this whether I'm compassionate or not. So it's not the best of cards, because it says the judge is going to be a bit of a stickler, or the mediator is going to be stiff. There's going to be some stiffness here. It's not going to be super accommodating. Somebody's going to be pretty firm here. Now, however, the one thing about the Queen of Swords, she is known as the fairest of the judgmental cards. There's also a justice card, and there's other cards that stand in judgment. Of all those who stand in judgment, she's considered to be the most fair and human, because the card of justice is above human. She's almost like an angel type character. But this is a person who has a human side and will judge you. But there is, unfortunately, the second card, and that is the Three of Swords. And the Three of Swords shows a heart with three swords pierced through it, under rain clouds with rain falling all over it, standing for tears and sorrow. You may have a difficult time in this case, and you may be hurt, you may be moved to tears. There are three swords in the heart, and there may be three different things going on here that are all going to combine together in some way. Be very careful that you keep a contrite heart if you're guilty. Be very optimistic and keep an upbeat heart as much as you can if you are innocent, because people will try to hurt you. This is there's going to be a bit of a loss in this. Not that you're going to lose it and end up going to prison for, you know, umpty years, but there is something here that is not to your favor, distinctly not to your favor. Now, the third card is an outcome of this situation, and it is called the judgment, which is good for a court case because it's about judgment, but it's also sometimes called the resurrection. And it shows the angel Gabriel blowing a trumpet, and people previously dead who were in their coffins come back to life and praise God for a second chance. So there is going to be this court case will have some toughness to it. This is not a pushover. You're not going to walk in and they're going to go, okay, go home. There's going to be some introspection. There's going to be some thought. And it may cause you to change your life a little bit, but at the end of the experience, you will actually have a revelation of a new and better situation. And I don't only mean to say if you did wrong. I'm saying, say you were falsely accused, you're also going to learn not to hang around people like that. Or if you were falsely accused, you're going to learn how to do some root work to help yourself, because this is about, at the end of it, something new in your life, some new start, something wonderful. If I were you, and I put this note out to our root worker, always remember, Archangel Gabriel blowing the trumpet is a good sign, and Gabriel is the one who brings new things to birth and brings, as I said, the dead back to life, so you'll have a new lease on life. Those are my cards. I wish I could say it's going to be 100% positive, but there's... Well, we're going to get to that when the root worker talks to it. I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Hello, Nika. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Pleasure to read for you. I have my bones here, and I'm going to throw them out on my mat. I read on a circular mat, so what I'll do is anything that lands in the western quadrant of this mat, going in towards the east, kind of showing me where things are lining up, going into the future for you. So let me say a little prayer to call in my ancestors, and I'll throw the bones here. Just be one moment. Father God, Son, God, the Holy Spirit, call upon the ancestors of my mother, I call upon the ancestors of my father, I call upon the ancestors of Nika, and I call upon the ancestors of those because they're with us now, so how things are lining up, how matters are planned, this location is what we need to be aware of. Okay, I just reached into my bones and tossed them out on the mat. Right now, going from the west into the east, where things are currently lining up, there are a lot of challenges here at first. And I'm going to say there is the coyote oculum bone, penis bone, that is false friends, false people that are around you. You got to, this is really backing up with what Ms. Kat said. You have some difficulties that are going to be facing as you go forward into this court case. You've got to stand strong, whether you did wrong or you did right or you're innocent. You have to stand strong. Take, what you learned from this and move forward. We all make mistakes, but, we got to move forward. We got to keep people out of our lives that cause problems, but we also got to make sure that we do not invite that problem into our lives. Going into the future, I'm going to say that you're gonna learn. There's going to be some challenges, but yet you still are going to be surrounding yourself. And I'm afraid that where things are leading right now, you got to be aware, hun, and keep those people that talk gossipy. I have a and be sure that you don't gossip yourself about other people. Really, hun, where things are going with this court case. The only thing I can get from this is you've got some challenges ahead of you.
All right. Well, now, she also asked about how to remove some of this negative energy. And I think that's one of the things that we're also going to want to be looking at, because... there is negative energy here. This is more than just, hey, I'm in court and I got this situation. So I'm going to pull one more card before we go to Conjure Manali for the root work. And I'm going to ask just about the negative energy. Okay, what's the cause of it? And weird, I got to explain here. When I do cards, I put them in three stacks, three cuts. And then if I'm going to do another card, I'll take it from whatever one I want to. So I decided to take it from the middle. So I just reached down and I picked the middle up to put aside and down below it, actually sitting on my keyboard, leaving the fourth card now in the middle of the three, and that card that came up is now the Knight of Swords. And that knight is now charging at that queen. And so the Knight of Swords is disorganized energy. You do have some disorganized energy around you. You may have an enemy. There may be somebody around you who is unable to follow through with plans. You're a Pisces, very sensitive person, very changeable. This card is a card of storm clouds, and it can be that somebody is actually, I'm going to say this right out, working on the judge. Because if I look at these two cards, this knight is screaming with a sword out onto this very calm queen. And that wasn't there before we had the Three of Swords. However, I will note, out of four cards, three are swords cards. And swords cards do tend to mean hardships. All right. Well, at this point, let me turn this over to Conjure Manali and see what kind of work we can do here.
Yeah, thanks, Kat. I think you had some very serious readings here. And they do portend that while you could turn this thing around, you're not going to come out of it completely unscathed. Whenever I have sword cards of that number appear in a situation, you can still be victorious, but there's going to be some sacrifices, some pain, and you're not going to come out of this completely unscathed. I wish you had called us a little bit sooner. I believe you said your court case is next week. Oh, it's tomorrow. Yeah, I really wish you would have called us sooner because you do need a few days for court case work, especially the time that
I got to jump in. Ali, I got to jump in. Knight of Swords. See, that's the disorganization.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you called us too late, hon. We're going to do the best we can. But that Knight of Swords says something about that there's disorganized energy around you. Okay, go ahead.
Look, ideally, I usually like don't take on court cases unless I have 9 days, roughly. I usually can take a little bit sooner than that, but tomorrow it is, so we're going to do the best that we can. What I want you to do is I want you to get bay, basil, and agrimony. The reason I want you to get these is that they're good at cleansing, purifying, and bringing victory. Bay is a solar herb. It's good at warding off evil and cleansing you. Basil will bring clarity of the mind and peace and will help to bring down some of that chaotic energy that cats saw. And agrimony, which will turn back curses. You're going to brew this
What's the name of that one?
Agrimony.
Agrimony. And I got to jump in again. If this is tomorrow, she can get bay and basil at the grocery store, but where is she going to get agrimony? She's going to have to go to a conjure shop for that.
I have a court case bail.
Okay, good, good. She has court
good,
case bail.
Very good.
Okay.
And I have the Chinese wash.
Good.
Chinese
All right.
wash. Very good.
But,
it, very
but
good.
As far as the agrimony goes, let's see if we can come up with another thing that could be maybe had from a grocery store
mint.
Or something to be of
mint
help.
Mint is another good one that you
mint.
Can use.
Yes,
yeah.
you can get mint tea.
Mint.
That's very good.
Mint
and so it would be bay,
really
basil,
good.
And mint.
Mint is also
Thanks.
Really good for clarity of mind, so it'll go really well with that basil, okay? So
mm-hmm.
brew this into a tea and bathe yourself with it tonight, okay? Wash yourself with it, pour it over yourself, pray that anything that is blocking you, holding you back, can be purified and removed off of you. You're going to let yourself air dry, gather a bit of the used bath water. While you're air drying, you're going to do the next part of this work, okay? Now, the Queen of Swords is a stern but fair woman. She can be compassionate, but she's a person who's often kind of hardened. And in the case of an arbiter or a judge, this is a person who has seen a lot of different cases. And so you need to soften her towards you a bit. It's important that if you are actually guilty, you need to throw yourself at her mercy to some extent, okay? And that's very important. There is a difference between guilt and not guilt, right? So you need to be honest with yourself before you start doing this work. As you're air drying, I want you to get yourself a mojo bag. You can make this out of any kind of cloth that you've got. Just cut it out. It doesn't take a lot of sewing. You can cut it out in a circle, I tell clients, in a big old circle, put the herbs in the middle, and then you fold it up, cut the kind of tips, and wrap it in thread. That's a really easy mojo bag. It's the way I was taught to make them by hand. I now sew them and make it into a drawstring bag, but in a kind of jiffy, you can just make a really simple rustic one like that. You're going to, the stuff that I'm telling you right now, you can easily get at any kind of Whole Foods store, any kind of place that's local to you. You can pick up tobacco from a local tobacco barn or smoke shop. Get yourself some tobacco, which is really powerful in this case. Get yourself some sumac. Sumac is found at any type of Whole Foods. You can find in the Mediterranean grocery stores as well. It's purple, very easy to find. Salt and guinea pepper. Guinea peppers are at Whole Foods. That's where I usually get mine. If you can't get guinea pepper, that's okay. You can skip that one and get yourself some ginger, right? Put that in there to heat it up. What I want you to do is I want you to put the tobacco, sumac, and salt in there, and then the guinea pepper, if you can get it, you're going to chew by light of a candle. Just get a regular old white candle, okay? And anoint it with some olive oil. And by light of that...
Would that be the same as the Little John chew? Because I also have that.
You can eat... Perfect. Little John to chew, if you have it, use that.
Good.
Take the Little John to chew. You can soften it with some sugar water, and you're going to chew. And you're going to chew and pray as you will... holding that mojo back, and you're going to cry and pour your heart out to the Lord and ask that you be forgiven if you're guilty, that you be exonerated if you're innocent, and then you're going to spit three times into the mojo bag, okay? Little pieces of that jonda chew, tie it up, feed it some whiskey. You take that with you tomorrow. The rest of the little jonda chew, you are going to chew at the cork. You're going to chew it very carefully, keep it in the back of your mouth. Go in a little early and see if you can carefully spit on the ground where the lawyer, prosecutor, defendant, lawyer, or the judge will walk through it. This is what I would recommend. It's powerful work. It's quick work. It's rough work. But the key to this is you've got to be honest with yourself and honest in your prayers. Okay? You can't try to pull a fast one. If you're guilty, ask for mercy. And if you're not, ask to be exonerated. Let's see if Kat or Papa Newt have something to add based off their reading.
All right. Well, I'm going to say one other thing. Call Missionary Independent Spiritual Church at 707-887-7808 or email them at church@missionaryindependent.org and ask for an emergency light, brown emergency light court case candle to be lit for you tomorrow. And hopefully they'll get it lit in time.
And I'm going to do the same.
Yeah. Or you can email candles, CANDLES, at missionaryindependent.org. That'll get it there. Okay?
And the prayer into the Crystal Silence League would be ideal.
And post
as well.
The Crystal Silence League, yes.
I did earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, well, I think we've pretty much covered everything that we can do to help you. In my opinion, this is going to be a little rocky ride, but you'll come out of it in the end okay. And
but will I be going to prison or anything?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you think I have to go to prison for it or anything?
Well, let's put it this way. If they don't give you probation, you might do a little time and get out on parole. I'm not seeing that you're going to walk here, and I may be wrong. I wish to God I was wrong, but I'm seeing, ask for some kind of a help, probation. Ask for mercy of the court, okay?
Yes.
Good luck to you. All right, we're gonna go now to our second reading of the day.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches located online at CrystalSilenceLeague.org. Now it's time to go back to the phones and take our next caller. Our second caller is Lioness C, calling in from area code 678. Lioness, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello. Now, I see that you have called before back in May of 2014 and that you have had a private reading with Conjure Man Ali about a year and a half ago. Is that correct?
Yes, on this subject, yes.
Yes, ma'am. And you write saying, I had a reading by Conjure Man Ali that I would have a mate in the future, possibly a Leo, and we would have a beautiful relationship. I believe I am now friends with the Leo we spoke of. We have not met in person. I have the opportunity to surprise him at his art show in November. Is there anything I can do, wear, etc., that would make this meeting go off extremely well? And I'll turn it back over to our own Miss Kat.
All right. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, Lioness, before we turn you over, because Conjure Man Ali will be your reader, which is great. This person that you you said you believe you're now friends, but you have not met in person. Do you communicate by telephone or Skype or text?
Yes. Text.
Wonderful.
We have communicated, yes. And Instagram, stuff like that, yeah.
Wonderful. That is really good to know. And, all right, I'm going to just turn this over to Ali because he was the one who gave you the first prediction, and now here we're sitting on the trembling brink of it.
I like the way you put that, the trembling brink of it. Well, Lioness, what an apt name, and I'm glad to see that the prediction is headed on its way to being true, and that you've met your Leo, and also how fitting that you met or you're communicating with a Leo on Instagram, which I think is anyone who knows Leos, I think that's very fitting. So I'm going to do a reading because it's a real quick reading because I think your question really is focusing on what you can do, right? You're not asking about the why, but I will do a quick reading. I do have some suggestions of my own, so I won't take up too much time. I pulled three cards here. And the cards do look very, very good. We have the very first card is the Three of Cups. The Three of Cups is a card of celebration. It's a card of fun and excitement, and it indicates that it's usually a symbol of the three graces, and it does mean the start of a friendship, usually more so than a relationship. That's where things are now. So the question is, where are they headed? The three graces also tell us what you need to do. You need to be attitude-wise a source of happiness, uplifting, positive energy, a source of grace, happiness, and joy in his life. Putting forth your beauty is going to be very important here. Because there are three figures here, I would say that you may be on par with someone else, that there is friendship there and there's interest there, but that you haven't sealed the deal quite yet. The next card that I have is the Star card. The Star card is a fantastic card that tells us that you are a very powerful person, a powerful woman who is capable of drawing this man to you. This is a woman kneeling down with two jars in her hand. One jar she's pouring into the pool before her, the other on the land, and above her are stars that are lighting up the night sky. This is telling us that sex and sexuality, in particular, sexuality is going to be very important to drawing in. You need to draw upon your spiritual power as well as your inner feminine power. This isn't just about lighting candles. You also need to charm him, show him who you are. And honesty is going to be very important. You want to be yourself without any illusions, any, you know, things that clothe and hide us and conceal us. The Star card is nudity under the night sky. Don't be surprised if you end up hooking up quite early on. And then the final card that we have is the Six of Cups. The Six of Cups is good. It doesn't confirm a full-on relationship right off. You may hook up and remain friends for a little while before things start. But the Six of Cups, it shows that the young boy giving a golden goblet with a flower to a young girl, and they're out in the courtyard. This means the beginning of something. So something will start between you two that will lead to a relationship. This is a little bit more gradual than I think you may have hoped for, so be patient with it. But he will give you something of himself. work on him through magic, work on him with your own feminine charm. Be honest with him, be the source of joy and grace, and you will seal the deal and get this man. And he will, you will know you've got this man when he gives something of himself to you. That may be a gift, quite a literal gift, or he may open up and share a secret. And when he does that, cherish it, treat it as the gift that it is, and he will be yours. And you can even use it as a physical object in some of the work that you do. That's where I will end my reading. I'm going to turn this over to Papa Moot, who will do the next reading, and then Miss Cat will come in. I just want to signal to Miss Cat that based off of what I saw here, what you wear, the things you put on, are going to play a big factor in drawing this hand.
Yes, I can see that. Okay, Papa Newt.
Thank you.
Hello, INSC. It's a pleasure to read for you this evening. I'm just going to say a quick word here. I'm going to do some interesting situation shows for me to do this in relationship today. yeah, I'm going to reinforce with what Ollie said. I do have, right before, I have a raccoon penis bone. This is a smooth, wonderful bone that means loving relationship, but right before it reaches that, it is, I have this little piece of Queen Elizabeth's fruit that lays right next to it. So this just tells me to really get into your empowerment, your, you know, really picking yourself up both, you know, physically and spiritually as well, and that's going to launch you forward into this relationship. I do see with the wishbone that the wish will be fulfilled. I do have a John the Conqueror root that lays right in the center of it. So it's just going to take time, but, you know, you're building something. You're building something. You want to have a nice foundation, and that's what's really important. You. So make sure that you do prepare yourself with that. I know Miss Cat will give you some great suggestions, but this is going well, hon. This is going well.
Yay.
All right. That's a wonderful thing. The definitely sounds great. All righty. I'm going to talk here a little bit. You want to surprise him, you said. And I'm going to ask a question about that because that can, you know, that can be a scary thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to surprise him at his art show in November. Would you be traveling a long distance to go to that art show?
2.5 hours.
Okay, so you don't have to like get a hotel and put up there and get yourself all freshened up. You could just drive there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's important for me to know. And is this art show in the place, city where he lives, or has he traveled to get there?
He lives in maybe like an hour away, I think. I'm not sure how
mm-hmm.
far. I don't think it's
so
it's
you both
too far.
Be
He's
traveling.
In the same state. Yeah, we'll
okay,
both
but
be
you
traveling
bo-
a little
bit. We'll both be traveling to get there. All right. I just wanted to make sure I understood because that's going to change how things kind of play out for me.
Okay.
All right. First of all, you mentioned that the man is a Leo. Well, Leos love beautiful hair.
Mm.
So however you do your hair or want to do your hair, get your hair done. And the color of the hair is not as important. The texture of the hair is not as important. But Leos always look at a woman's hair as her crowning glory. If he is a Leo, his own hair would be something of interest to him. Now, Leo may shave,
yes.
But he just thinks, but he, yes, I had that feeling. He may
mm-hmm.
shave, but he thinks he's got the prettiest bald head in the world. And
he's got long locks down to his ankles, long, long locks.
He does.
Yes.
He
and
has
I have
long
locks too.
Down to, well, there you go. So do your hair, spend extra care and attention on your hair. If you can put something in your hair, and by that I mean a magical oil or perfume, I would do so.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I would use is called Crown of Success. There are also commercial preparations that have the idea of hair glory or crown and glory. But I like Crown of Success, a little dab of it in the hair, maybe mixed with a little bit of your own, excuse my language, pussy juice, and maybe mixed just a touch, and maybe Ooh. Mixed with a little, yeah, for real, and maybe mixed, and maybe mixed with a little bit of something that is light and bright in scent, sun oil, Leo oil, those are very light, bright scents. And maybe a touch, maybe a hint of Kiss Me Now or Fire of Love. Fire of Love is good for Leos because it has fire in there, a fire sign. So those are some of the things that, you know, but you want to make Crown of Success be one of the dominating smells. But it's very, don't overdo it now, but just dress your hair with that a little bit. Now, also, Leos love jewelry. They they like gold, and they'll take silver too, but they really do like gold, and they don't like cheap costume jewelry. It never appeals to them. They like real jewelry. It can be natural jewelry, okay? I mean, it can be made of seashells. If it's natural, they'll appreciate it, but if it's it doesn't matter, but they don't like cheap plastic jewelry. They just don't go for it. It doesn't have the dignity that a Leo would like. So you're going to wear some beautiful jewelry, not too much. Don't be dripping with it, but make it where he will be able to see it. And since Leo rules the heart, you want to wear it a little bit on your, you let the jewelry hang onto your bosom just a little bit, okay? They like that. And now dress that jewelry with some form of, oil that would be for love and attraction. Come to Me might be a good one. Attraction would be a good one. Look Me Over is a real good one. But that's for the jewelry. For your hair, you see a difference. So Look Me Over would be good on the jewelry. Now, you're going to want to wear some clothing that you have prepared also. You don't want to smell like a perfume factory here. I'm not trying to get you to go that way. But you also might want to wear clothing that is gracious, beautiful. I don't know if you like the man enough, get some new clothing, but steam out the creases. Don't be putting on something right fresh out of the rack that has creases on it. You want to steam those creases out because he's going to notice it. It's an art show. He's an artist. He's going to notice everything about you. And your shoes, I would say you want your shoes to be exceptional. All right. Now, you're going to be dressed very beautifully. Overall, the clothing that you're going to wear, including all of your underwears and everything that you're going to wear, over all of that, I want you to recite Psalms number 45. And Psalms number 45 is a psalm about, let's just say the beautiful princess coming to meet the king. You can read it and surprise yourself. It has a sexual component to it. It has a love component. And it also says that she is clothed in the gold of Ophir, meaning clothed in gold. She has some gold. It says that there is needlework on her clothing, which would maybe mean something embroidered or fancified in some way. And it also says that she wears campfire, a spikenard, and so forth. You read that psalm, and it will tell you what's in it. You can use that. One of them is aloes, and aloes is aloes wood. Well, we can't get aloes wood anymore because it's an endangered species. Or you can get it, actually, but I just wouldn't because it is an endangered species. So for aloes wood, and do not use bitter aloes for this, I recommend that people will use another one of the Bible incenses that comes from a tree, such as frankincense, which has a real resonance to Leo, or myrrh, but myrrh would be more like if the man was a Scorpio, you see, and frankincense, which is golden light in color. So you're just going to take a little bit of that frankincense, camphor, spikenard, just crush it up a little bit together, and you can make yourself a little incense of that, and just waft a little bit your way on your clothes, all right? So now I have prepared you as a queen to meet your king, okay? And you're going to be reciting, you're going to be reciting Psalms number 45 over this. And I think when you read Psalms 45, you'll find it's hot. This is a hot psalm. I'm just going to tell you, when it gets to the part about the king girding his sword upon his thigh, there's more to your Bible than you probably knew in church. All right? All right. Now, and I have to thank Professor Porterfield. He said, Ophir, the gold of Ophir. Ophir is a Porter region mentioned in the Bible, famous for its wealth. King Solomon received a cargo of gold, silver, sandalwood, pearls, ivory, apes, and peacocks from Ophir every 3 years. Whoa.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that puts a little peacocks in there, too. And I'll tell you, that's another one. The peacock is a show-off, like a Leo. And there's a little bit of, you can do a little bit of that, too. This is, and really, what a great list of things here. She's clothed in the gold of Ophir. Like I said, you read that, and you will be amazed what can be done with a little bit of Bible work. All right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Now, well, let's see if Papa Newt has anything to add to this.
Well, you're making yourself a queen. I would carry a little Queen Elizabeth upon you.
Mm.
Just have that, because you are the queen. You are looking to, get into his kingdom, so to speak.
Yes.
Queen
Elizabeth root is great. Some people will take and make a little packet where you take a little small, John the Conqueror, small as you can get, a little chunk of Queen Elizabeth root, because it's a big root, and bind them together. I've done this for ladies for years. You just take and you take a little bit of sticky wax and you put them together, and then you just start wrapping it up in thread. It's like making a jack ball, but you've just made just the Queen Elizabeth root and the John the Conqueror together. Wind them up as you go, and then sew that tight into a little cloth cover, so it doesn't come apart. It can be very small. The whole thing put together, what might be no bigger than the last joint of your middle finger.
Okay.
In the chat room, Alchemical Artisans Hour mentioned catnip too. So definitely bathe in catnip. That's a good one.
Catnip is fantastic.
And a honey bath. Oh my God, I forgot that. You want to be bathing with a little bit of milk and honey before you get yourself dressed in these fabulous clothes. So put a little milk in the bath and a little bit of honey. Not too much now, and stir them in. That is Cleopatra's milk and honey bath, and you can find out more about those types of bath in Hoodoo Honey and Sugar Spells, which you can buy from us or from Amazon. It's written by Deacon Millett, and it has a number of these fabulous things. And milk and honey is the simplest thing. You can just get it right out of the grocery store, okay?
I'm just going to add real quickly, red is a color that you should be wearing somewhere, whether it's a red dress, red shoes, like red, a little red heel, something like that. Red draws Leo's attention. Gold does as well, but red in particular I saw coming up for you.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
I would say, if it were me, I would say maybe a red jewelry, a red brooch or something like that, or a red necklace. But you don't know. I mean, I don't know for you what your personal style is, but do not go in muted sage green, okay? We're not talking navy blue here, right?
No.
We're not talking terracotta sandy brown, okay? All right. We're talking like, let yourself shine a little bit. All right. Wow. And I wish you all the luck in the world. Okay. You've been listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. We're going to have an announcement about our network shows, and then we're going to come back with our free spell.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Wesson, Saturdays 5 to 7, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
So Thank you. And now it's time for our free spell segment from Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com. Take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Loretta. And I am bringing a spell to push somebody a little bit to tell the truth in those times when you need somebody just to tell the truth. I do like with a lot of influencing work, I do like to work with purple, but in a pinch, if you have white, just use a white candle if that's all you have. Commanding and compelling oil is wonderful for this. You want to anoint your candle with the two oils. On a brown piece of paper, do want to write out your target's name about 9 times, and then you want to turn it and to the right and write your name over the target name. I do like to put a command in a continuous circle around the names. You know, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth, and a continuous line without lifting the pen. And then burn the candle on top of this paper. Now, when it comes to influencing, your words are important. And I didn't get a chance to really cover this in the beginning section, but your words are very important. And when you need to command somebody or to tell them to tell you or to do something, you got to listen to or understand how you say your words. So it's like, you know, I command you, I compel you. You know, you want to come from a strong place. Like, tell me the truth. You will tell me the truth. You want to be saying this while the candle burns. You want to be burning this candle in at least 7 days in a row. You can divide up the candle with little notches to divide it up into 7 sections. But you want to do that each day about the same time, commanding this person to tell you the truth. Now, once the candle has melted down, take that piece of paper, wrap it up with the leftover wax, and take it to the crossroads and ask for the way of communication for the truth to be opened. You'll walk away without looking back.
Okay. Wow. So I'm going to say something here, too, because you touched on something very important, which is be affirmative and strong, to quote what Shiva wrote in the chat room. When you do a spell like this, which is a very simple spell on the surface of it, and it doesn't use a lot of stuff on it. You know, it's not like you don't have 16 different herbs and 5 roots and you know, 4 rare Tibetan coins. This is a very simple spell, but your mind power is going to be what's going to work on this, and the affirmations that you say tell the truth. Now, I'm going to add another thing. Don't ask for this if you don't want to hear the truth. There's that old saying, you can't handle the truth. I've had people to do this type of a spell, very similar type of spell to this, using a 7-knob candle for 7 days, using a little 6-inch candle marked off with, you know, in notches or whatever you want to call it. And when the truth is told to them, they were sad. They didn't want to hear that. So remember, when you command somebody to tell you the truth, you will get the truth. And it may be something you've got to prepare yourself for. That's all I'm going to say on that one. Not always. It might be just exactly what you want to hear. Hey, you want a proposal of marriage? And the guy goes, well, truth to tell, I'm married.
Right? Oh.
Maybe, you know, I've had it to happen with clients that I've had. But I've also had it to happen where they want a proposal of marriage and damn straight, the proposal comes. Now, in the chat room, someone named Pretty Girl asked, can we blend oils? Yes. In fact, if you were trying to compel a proposal to marriage, for instance, you would blend marriage oil and compelling.
Yep.
Pretty Girl also asked, can you use the same candle for 7 days or let it burn out each day? It's up to you. You can use little small candles. Each candle has a burn time. A little 4-inch candle might burn for an hour and a half to 2 hours. A 6-inch candle may burn many more. A 7-day candle may only burn 5 days. And those glass ones are hard to turn off and turn back on again because it's hard to get the flame started down inside.
Mm-hmm.
And they smoke up when you do that. So, yeah, you can mark a candle and burn it a little bit at a time. You can also use little Hanukkah lights. Go down to your local grocery store that has a Jewish section, and you get those
mm-hmm.
little Hanukkah lights. Or just get birthday candles. And they burn for a short time, and they are very useful. And Gia in the chat room says, and never leave candles unattended. Oh, boy, ain't she right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one to use the same candle. That's just my preference. And mm-hmm. there's times I do use about the 6-inch candles. I do spend a good amount of time, depending on the dire need of the work to be done, I will spend a good amount of time where most of that section has burned before I snuff it out. And that's some time and dedication and focus. But even if you just, you know, let it burn, you know, at least 15 minutes, let it burn until it gets down to that notch and then snuff it out, you know, but
I
stay there the entire time.
And I'll tell you another old-fashioned way, pretty girl, because, again, this is stuff that goes back a long way. One lady told me, will you burn it at 9 in the morning and at 9 at night for a certain number of days? Oops, it was a different spell, but it was the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
9 in the morning, at 9 at night. Well, I was in school at the time. I said, well, I've got to be at school at 9 in the morning. What will I do? She said, get up at 6. Do it at 6 in the morning and 6 at night. So there are people who will burn the candle twice a day to get their way.
Oh, you know, I love this spell. I think it's a fantastic spell. I was wondering, could you do something with the petition paper besides dispose of it at the crossroads? Because I'm not trying to adjust your work or anything, but for me, I'm thinking burn that thing to ash, mix it in some salt, and then place it where that person will walk through. But if you have access to that person.
Even better. Even better.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you another way. Put it under use one of these little wedding coasters. They're like a little glass coaster. I don't know. You're supposed to put a picture of the happy couple or a dove or something in it. You can buy them any like Michael's Crafts, Joanne's. Little, they're called wedding coasters. Just trust me, they exist. But there, you can put the petition paper in that little sealed coaster. You just put it in, it's like an envelope or whatever, and you can actually put it inside there, and that will keep it safe when the wax all melts down on it. You can fish the petition out. Petition hasn't even been touched. You can take that petition and put it in your shoe. Remember what we said earlier about mental influence, where you tap your foot on her name.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to see them, you can then tap, call their name. Hey, John, tap, you know. So there are many ways to skin a cat, as they say, and there are many ways to
mm-hmm.
do a spell. All right. Well, I'm going to turn this over to our announcer, Miss Loretta of Quimby, Texas. And she's going to give us our final outro, and then we're going to all come back and say goodbye. So take it away, Miss Loretta.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ali. And thank you, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Leaders and Root Workers will be Susan Diamond of SerpentsKiss.biz in Santa Cruz, California, discussing the potent pendulum. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer this week, Miss Loretta Evans, joining you from the First and Second Baptist Church of Quimby, Texas. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again this week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, the former Miss Loretta Evans, and now Miss Loretta, Mrs. Count Goulash, Mrs. Fred Newman. Good night, all.
Good night, all.